Welcome to the Living Life on Purpose podcast with your host, Michael Mukunda Chandra Cohan, the founder of YourWellnessYogi.com and the Living Life on Purpose community. The Living Life on Purpose podcast is a show dedicated to inspiring people to achieve their goals and live their dreams to the highest potential. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose. Inside all of us is a powerful spark of the divine, and yet as life's challenges grind and wear us down, many of us forget that inner spark. However, that spark never leaves us, and if we stray too far from it, we will be unhappy in our life. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that inner spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle of Life quiz, a free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you a favor, to write us an honest review of our podcast. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/podcast and click on subscribe to open up in iTunes and write us a review. You can also write us a review on your device as you listen to the show by opening up the podcast app. Thank you and enjoy this week's episode, and I appreciate you listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another full-length episode of the Living Life on Purpose podcast. I really do appreciate you guys listening. I'm sorry that it's been a while since I posted a full-length episode. It's the summer. It's just me doing this, so if I am on vacation or I am busy teaching or running some workshops, I don't have time always to edit full-length episodes, so I do apologize when I miss an episode and don't post. Today's guest is with Lisa Jones. It's a little bit out of my comfort zone, but I thought it would be a good, interesting episode, and I was right. Lisa is a beautiful person who hosts the show Exploring Death and has a unique perspective on death. At the age of 37, she shared a death experience on the night that her husband died. She saw that the other side, and she saw the other side, and it opened her eyes to a whole new world, and now wants to explore death from every facet. Outside of the media world, Lisa lives in beautiful Maui, Hawaii. You'll often find her teaching yoga, meditating on the beaches, and spending time with loved ones around her. She is the author of The Art of Living Happy and is known as the millionaire medium in business circles. It was a really great episode. I had a lot of fun interviewing her. She helped me kind of look at death and life from different perspectives, and I hope you enjoy this episode. And once again, thank you for listening. And now let's get on with this week's full-length episode.
Lisa, thank you for joining us on the Living Life on Purpose show, and I really do appreciate you being here. And let's get the conversation started right away by asking you what your definition is of living life on purpose.
Thank you so much for having me. Wow, great question. And I truly believe living your life on purpose is all about following your own heart's desire and not being caught up in what people think of you and what society expectations are of you, and really tapping into just what brings you fulfillment. Because really at the end of the day, which I spend a lot of time talking about at the end of everyone's life, you want to look back and reflect on what you did, and it really needs to be personal to what you wanted to do and not trying to fulfill everybody else's expectation around you. So I think that's what I'd say.
So do me a favor and just tell me a little bit about your story, where you came from, and how you became who you are today.
Great. Yes. I've had quite a crazy life. I've in fact written a book about everything that's happened to me, but probably the most dramatic situation occurred when my husband was diagnosed with cancer back in 1997 and went through a 7-year battle with lymphoma cancer and had 3 stem cell transplants, multiple rounds of chemotherapy and radiation. And unfortunately, on February 22nd, 2004, he took his last breath. And on that early morning that occurred, I had a shared death experience where I actually left my body and went to the other side, quote unquote. And what my experience was I ended up being in heaven where they were gathering to welcome him into heaven. And to this day, it still is astounding to me that I had this happen. And since that happened, I've read several near-death experiences and other people share death experiences. And so I know that I'm not the only one that this has happened to, but it really changed my life. And so now I actually have a podcast called Exploring Death, and I love talking to people that have had near-death experiences and shared death experiences and even mediums, because that's some of the work that I've done in the past. And it's just blown my world completely open.
Now, as a yogi and a spiritualist from the traditional Eastern philosophy of Hinduism as a Vaishnav, one of the things that we discuss in our one great epic is the Mahabharata. And in the Mahabharata, the 5 Pandavas, or the heroes of this story, are asked what is the greatest illusion in life. And every brother except the oldest one answers the question incorrectly. And he answers, the greatest illusion in life is we are all going to die. We all know we're going to die, but yet we think it's never going to happen to us. And this is why we live our life like we're never going to die. And what was the lesson that you learned from your end-of-life experience?
Right. Well, I would say that we don't die, that we transition into another experience. And that has given me great hope and great optimism about where we go after our lifetime here on this planet. And it also helps me expand my heart to more love and to know that our loved ones are still with us, even though they're not in the physical, they're in this spirit world. And it's like I said, I feel like this transition for me went from living in a life where I had a black and white television with 3 channels and, you know, really poor audio to then going to an IMAX theater with surround sound and high def and all these, you know, lots and lots of different colors. And so it's opened a whole new world to me. And again, I'll be the first one to say, I don't know for sure, but this is what I experienced. And it's been a heck of a lot more fun living this life than prior to having that experience.
Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people when you're working with them as a life coach, spiritualist, a guide, not necessarily the people that have passed away or moved on to the next form of consciousness, but rather the people living this their day-to-day life and feeling stuck, and they come to you and say that they're not happy and they want to live a more fulfilled life, knowing that you have experienced something beyond the material body and the material world that we live in, what is the things that you discuss with them?
Great question. I love to talk about how there are signs and connections to beyond this world happening all the time. And it's just a matter of being present to them and being open and willing to see them. So one of the ways, actually, it's a funny story of how I got started on connecting with signs or even just connecting to, I'll call them angels on the other side, which I know some people have a problem with that word. So call them whatever you want, guides or just spirit or universe.
We have problems with, sorry to interrupt. This is a spiritual podcast. I am a formal I'm a formally initiated disciple of His Holiness Ramana Swami. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a spiritualist. I believe in many paths, many source, one destination, and I'm not the one to judge anyone who is right or wrong. I don't know the answers because I'm not God. I'm just trying to discover my own connection to source. So what you believe in is valid as long as you don't harm anyone and you don't harm yourself, is my humble opinion.
I love it. Thank you very much. So I went in to get a massage. This was just about a week after my husband had first been diagnosed with cancer. And I started to cry on the table. And the massage therapist said, "Oh, you know, what's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, my husband's just been diagnosed with cancer." And she said, "Oh, well, do you talk to your angels about that?" And I just froze, because at that point in my life, I wasn't very open to the idea of angels. And I thought, stop touching me and let me out of the room. But instead, I kept my mouth shut and just let her proceed. And she continued to go on and said that she talks to her angels all the time and that they help her with everything, including finding parking spots. And even if she's trying to get somewhere quickly and she has to speed, she'll cloak her car. Or ask them to cloak her car so she doesn't get a ticket. And anyway, when she mentioned the parking spots, it really got my attention, because I had a 1 and a 3-year-old at that point, and trying to find parking in our little tiny town of Richfield, Connecticut was very difficult. So after that massage, I started asking very tentatively these angels for parking spots. And lo and behold, I was getting parking spots right in the front row of the Ace Hardware or the grocery store or wherever I was going. And that was really the first step for me that allowed me to believe that there was something that I could connect to that would actually be beneficial and helpful and supportive of me. And then over the years, that continued, where I started channeling them and writing their messages to me in journals, and then ultimately channeling for other people and giving them messages of help and divine wisdom.
I'm going to ask you a tough question here. And if I'm crossing the line, I do apologize, because I find that we as a human condition are very much curious about where we go when we die. Is there a God? And what is the purpose to life? And we have a tendency to use this exploration to take advantage of people. What I mean by that is, we look around, and I think this is why when you heard the word angels on the massage table and you're like, "I want to get out of here, you weirdo," is because we look at all these people that are religious leaders, politicians that say that they're good Christians or good Muslims or good Hindus, that they use religion as a way to manipulate and control people. And so we have this negative aspect to religion. And then we're really curious about understanding where we come from. And we know that there's something beyond, but yet we don't live that life. Like, we know that this matters. So we become selfish and we take advantage of others and we manipulate and we try to control. And, you know, what have you learned as a medium and as a spiritualist working with death and afterlife? And what do you say to those people?
Say to which people? Sorry, the ones that are questioning, or
not the ones that are questioning? Because I understand why the ones that question. I understand the skeptics, and a lot of times people are skeptic because they can't touch, they can't feel, and they can't see. So they're kind of like, "I don't know. I want the science behind it." I understand that. I have friends that are very much into personal growth, high performance. And when you get into the spiritual side, they use the words woo-woo and new age. So I understand where they're coming from. People on the other side who are obsessed with faith, religion, but they use it in such a negative way to judge others, to say that my path is the right path and everybody else's path is wrong. And so then we get to that period where you have this really sweet woman who's like, "I talk to angels all the time." And you're like, "Well, that's freaky. Get away from me."
Right. So I'm still not quite clear on the question. So are you asking me about people that are, you know, trying to pronounce their knowingness on others, righteousness, right? Well, I have just a terrible time with that. And that's why I'm the first one to raise my hand and say, you know, I don't know for certain. And I think anybody that says they do know is for sure wrong.
Right.
So I think it's really up to the individual to determine for themselves what, you know, what feels right, what works for them. For example, when I was doing my stage show, I've done several stage shows, but on one of them, I got out on the stage and nothing was coming to me. And I just said, listen, guys, I'm going to have to step off the stage and come back on because I'm not going to just make something up mm-hmm. for the sake of keeping the show going. You know, I mean, it was terrifying, but I stepped off the stage and went down and got myself centered again and came back out. And then, wow, the things that came through were amazing. And people were like, holy cow, I've never seen anybody like, own the fact that they weren't getting anything, because I agree. I think there's a lot of people out there that are trying to take advantage of people. They might have some, you know, they might even have the gift, but then they realize how much power and control that they could have over people. And that's just downright absolutely wrong. So, you know, those people are going to have to live with themselves and live with those consequences on their, you know, with themselves and whatever happens in the afterlife for them. But I think the main thing is to really be aware of who you're connecting with and how it feels, and really tap into what your own heart is telling you about the people that you're trying to connect to. And ultimately, this is why I don't do a lot of mediumship work anymore, is I want to, if I do anything, I want to teach people to do it for themselves, because mm-hmm. that's, I know everybody can do it for themselves. It's just a matter of taking the time and the interest in learning how to do that.
So what is a medium, and what is the word you're using, mediumship work? Explain that to me so my audience can get a deeper understanding.
Right. Well, my definition is a little probably broader than the most. I'd say most people think of a medium is somebody who connects passed away loved ones with people that are here on Earth. And that's probably a very limited definition, or you know, that's kind of more the standard definition. I like to say it's really more literally the medium between, standing between heaven and Earth. So somebody that is able to connect with information that's beyond this earthly material world and bring it through to people that are on this planet. And so, because for me, I bring through way more information than just passed away loved ones. You know, I can bring through information from all sorts of different beings, and it all depends on the day, you know, who comes in and for what purpose, and whoever I'm working with, whatever it is that they need to know.
And what is the general results of working with you? What happens to most people? And is there a sense of release? Is it a sense of like letting go and finally moving on? What is the benefit for people?
Right. I'd say the biggest benefit, especially for people that have lost a loved one and are grieving so deeply that they found themselves stuck and can't move forward and are really dwelling in the past and in a negative way. You know, they're not even reliving the amazing times they had with their loved one. All they're doing is thinking about the day they died and how they're no longer in their life. So by connecting and getting a message that's validating, that's there's information that's obviously beyond anything that I could have known anywhere else, it helps them really just know that their loved one is okay, and somehow that gives them a sense of peace so they can move forward. And I think one of the biggest things, and I get this over and over, is when the loved ones come through and they say, well, this is the sign I sent you. And, you know, this happened and this happened and this happened. And then the person's like, oh my God, like I can now trust and know that that's actually coming from them and not just wondering. Mm-hmm. Because for people that they think it's a sign, but they're not sure, you know, but it's this knowing that, that there's that validation that they're not crazy. They're not thinking that they're making it up. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps them move forward.
I would agree there. And
I wanted to take a quick break and remind you that it is never too late to make a choice and decide to make lasting changes in your life and create the life you want and learn to live life on purpose. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle Life Quiz, our free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for a real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life.
So I'm a skeptic. Okay. I'm just going to go with this real quick for you. I'm a skeptic, right? And I don't really believe in mediums. And I've watched John Oliver's episode on HBO on mediums. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind of funny and it gives a good exploration of it. Have you seen it?
I have not.
So I watched John Oliver and I'm a little bit of a skeptic because I've seen all the tricks and the trades and the cold reads and the, you know, warm leads where I go into a room and I fill out a questionnaire and people kind of know the history behind me and they use, you know, my background and they make assumptions that lead me down to a path to answer questions and it's not real. And mm-hmm. It's sort of just a big, you know, scam. And I'm kind of a skeptic and I come to you because I'm suffering. I haven't let go of my loved one and I'm still kind of living with that past love in my life and I just don't know how to move on. How do you help me connect with my loved ones that have passed away in a real legitimate way?
Well, I would say the best way is to, I mean, I can share with you the way that it's called the PALS method. It's how mm-hmm. I teach people how to connect on their own because I agree. I don't think you should have to go to anybody or pay anyone to help you connect to your loved one. So, I'm happy
sorry to interrupt you real quick. This is why I have you on the show is because when I got the bio read from your publicist, I was kind of like, I don't know. And then I went on line and I looked at your website. I'm like, oh, she teaches people how to do it themselves. She's not sitting up there in a seminar charging hundreds of thousands of dollars. She's saying, here's how you do it yourself and let me teach it for you to teach it so you do it on your own. And I was like, oh, I can interview this person.
Well, good. And we got right to it. So very, very good. I'm glad this came to this point. I call it the PALS method, P-A-L-S. And it starts out by you just preparing yourself. That's the P, by having a notebook and a pencil or pen or whatever, and finding a quiet place to just sit. And of course, turning off your phone and all electronics and not being in a place that you're going to be disturbed. So that's the prepare part. The ask part is to write at the top of your note paper, you know, dear, and then whatever your loved one's name is, or dear angel, or dear God, or whoever you'd like to connect with, what would you like me to know? So you write that out. And then that's the ask. And then the L is listen. And this is where it gets a little tricky because this is where discernment comes in. And so when you ask the question, then you can just close your eyes and take a breath. You don't have to meditate or go anywhere deep or anything, but you just take a deep breath and release, let go. And then you're going to hear some words. And typically it's maybe one word, maybe two words, but it's, and typically they're so simple. They're like love or miss you or, you know, something just so darn easy. And that's why the discernment comes in, because of course our brain wants to say, oh, well, I just made that up. And then, so on the first few times, that's kind of all that you're going to get. And then at the end, you always want to, the S is for say thank you, because you always want to give them thanks, because without asking and then thanking them, it's more difficult for them to keep coming through. But the interesting thing is that if you do this over and over, you're going to start getting word blocks from the other side, and you'll start really being amazed at what comes through. And here's a couple things. If it's negative information, it's not them. Like my mom tried this the first time and she got, "Your cancer is back." And I said, "Well, that's not your angels. They're not going to say that to you. What you're asking for is love and light and a message of hope and sustainment." So if you get a negative message, that's your fear coming up, and that's what's coming through. So this is the technique that I started with, and it's what I've taught hundreds of people. And what's really fun is that a couple of times I've taught it, it was just like an impromptu thing, and I had people turn and give each other messages, and it's phenomenal when you can do it with somebody else, because then you start to realize that it's not you that you're getting the information from, that you are actually getting from something beyond us, because the message that you share with the person you're working with, is it just blows their mind. So it's pretty easy, but it also, you know, you got to practice.
It's like meditation.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the easier it gets. Now, I've gotten this message from the heavenly realms. How do I interpret it? How do I communicate it? And how do I receive it in everyday life so I'm living a more intentional life?
Right. So the thing is, so once you start getting these messages, what I recommend is you have a journal, and you journal on a regular basis, or, you know, sit down and do this. And it doesn't have to take that long. It could take 5 to 10 minutes just to start gathering some information. And then what's really exciting is that when you go back and start reading it, you know, say a week or two, or even a month later, you'll be astounded. First of all, you don't remember what you write down. Even at times as you're writing it down, your brain kind of, it's just so open and focused in the moment that you're just writing those words as they come in. And then you go back and read it and you're like, whoa, I didn't even realize that's what I wrote. So, so by having that journal, you can go back and refer to it, and then you'll see, you know, some of the messages that they give you. And really what I found, it was just such loving guidance and advice. It's not like earth shattering, like next Tuesday, you're going to meet somebody that's going to change your life. It's just much more loving guidance to help sustain you when you're going through difficult times, or even when you're going through great times. You know, there's a lot of congratulatory messages as well. So, to be able to live a better life is just to follow this practice and start connecting. And then you'll start seeing signs more, and you'll start seeing the magic that just unfolds and develops. And it's pretty amazing. It's really, it's completely changed my life.
Thank you for sharing. And I'm going to move on to another topic, because I want to get through two more things before we end, because I am limited with our time today, and I do apologize. But what I want to know is what death is like, and what you do, what is death and transition, and how it looks like, and how to be aware of it, the miracle of moments. And the reason why is, as a yogi, we're very curious about death. One of the parts of the practice of yoga is to come into what is called Shavasana. And Shavasana translates as corpse pose. And we practice corpse pose at the end of our yoga practice to practice dying. Because as yogis, we know that the root of all fear in life, whether it's the fear of that job promotion or asking someone out for the first time, or the fear of moving to a new place or taking a chance in life, all roots back to that fear of death. And so how do you explore it, and how do you work with people to understand it in a better way?
Wonderful. And I'm also a yoga teacher, so I love I love all your references to the yoga. And yes, corpse pose at the end of every practice is a must do. And I personally work with actual death in the hospice realm. I'm a hospice volunteer, and I sit with many dying patients in vigil, which means that they are imminent, about to die within 24 to 48 hours. And it's it's so amazing. People say to me many times, they're like, oh my God, I could never do that. That's just, you know, it seems so creepy, or it's just kind of like, ah, you know, and what I have found is it's one of the most magical times to sit with anybody as they are approaching their final hours of their time on earth, not only to hold the space for them to be able, as they're laying there literally in corpse pose, but to also be able to reflect on the fact that you're seeing somebody about to take their last breath, and yet you're still here on this earth, and that you don't know when your time will be, but you are so grateful for every future moment that you'll get going forward. And this also relates to when my husband died. He was 44. And a week before he passed, he said to me, wow, I really regret my life's work. He was a tax attorney for a very large corporation, very successful. But he said, I wished I had helped more people while I was here on earth. Mm-hmm. And so that regret that he felt just broke my heart, because again, he was a wonderful man. He was an amazing businessman, but he said, you know, now that I'm at the end of my life, I realize that helping more people was really what it should have been more about. And so I was 37 when he died. And although that broke my heart, I went back and worked at a hedge fund and continued, you know, making money. And as I approached my 44th birthday and realized that I would be able to live longer than he would, I thought, I have to quit my job and help more people. So mm-hmm. I think that's, once again, it's like people need to really reflect on what they're doing in their life, because once you come to the end of it, and if you can really go to that, even in a meditation, go to what it feels like at the end of your life and looking back, and have you done everything that you wanted to do while you were here? And if not, start taking steps to fulfill that, because life is short and you never know when your last breath is going to come. So don't keep putting off like, oh, I'll wait till retirement when I, you know, go to Hawaii, or, you know, do this or do that. Do it now, because life is very precious and it's very short.
I agree with you completely. I left my corporate job when I was 35 years old to become a yoga teacher and a life coach. I had to start all over.
And fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And I worked in New York City, and I was making almost $250,000 a year, and I was miserable.
And that's right.
I realized at 35 that my life couldn't just mean more stuff, and I couldn't just be pursuing more things. And I think this is the big problem we have right now, is this is the first time in the human history that we know it, in the age of Kali Yuga, where we have pretty much, for the most part, everything that we can possibly want and need. Most of us have food. Most of us have shelter. Most of us have access to education and information and entertainment. And so we get to this point where we're like, wow, then what's it all mean? So we either become narcissists and we just kind of take and consume, or to begin to explore what it means. And for a lot of us, like you said, when we get to the end of our life, that's when we go, man, I wish I just didn't focus on my career so much, and I focused on helping others and finding out what my passions were. And so we get into this like kind of confused state. And then we go to like the podcast world and we start listening to like success gurus, and all you hear is quit your job and follow your passion and just do what you want to do in life. And it's just about you. But yet all the teachings, whether it's from Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, Buddhism, whatever it is, it all comes down to you find happiness in the service of others. And you're not going to be at your deathbed saying, I wish I loved less, I wish I helped less, and I wish I traveled less. It's always those same things. And so what do you say to people?
Wow. I would say that's exactly right. It's about helping other people. And it's really apparent in our current society that what drives the media and you know, social media and advertising and where all the big dollars are is pushing people to, like you said, be selfish and have all of the trappings of wealth and all of that craziness, and ultimately it doesn't make you happy. I mean, I love Jim Carrey's, you know, I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but he said, I wish everyone could experience the amount of wealth and fame and fortune that he's had, and to realize that's not the answer, because having all of that doesn't make you happy. It's about helping other people and really following your heart to figure out why you are here on earth, and it's to help other people, but in what way? So I think that's really where people should focus their attention, as opposed to all the material trappings that are out there.
Yeah, I agree, because I mean, I was listening to Rob Bell's podcast recently, and he was talking to the minimalist guys, and they were talking about, like, the average person in America, once they get to around $70,000 a year in salary, whether they're married, single, or with kids, they generally have enough wealth. They don't need anything else. But yet, they're still in credit card debt, and they're still trying to, they're still underwater with their mortgage. And it's because we're constantly bombarded by these weapons of mass destruction. And it's all not real. It's all an illusion. But yet, we're obsessed with it. And so, you know, I want to understand this as a person, which is why I interview people as, like you, and how we can live a more intentional spiritual life without being weird, to have right. that balance between material comfort and a spiritual life, to be spiritual beings living a material life, rather than being material beings looking for spirituality in our religion. If that makes sense to you.
It absolutely makes sense to me. And I would say the first thing is to get rid of as much of that media as possible. You know, like, I've taken my television out of, I mean, it's gone. Like, I just, all of those ads and everything. And I live in Maui, Hawaii, where, I mean, I'm as far away as I can be from the mainland. And it's just so refreshing not to be continually bombarded by all of those messages that are out there. And even the negativity of, you know, the news is filled with, if it bleeds, it leads, right? And so right. you just feel like your whole life is coming apart. And yet it's really not. I mean, that's the thing, is you have to really be able to see what is fact and what is fiction. And the only facts are in your body and what's happening to you right now. All of that stuff that's going on outside of you, you know, it's an illusion, like you said.
And it never ends. It's just going to be the same thing over right. and over again. And it's the same, like, you're not good enough unless you buy this thing. You're not mm-hmm. healthy enough unless you take this pill. And everybody that doesn't look like you and think like you and worship the same God as you is your enemy. And so right. be afraid and stay at home and watch TV, and watch the news, and consume and eat and shop.
Right. Yep. It's a sad state of affairs right now, for sure.
But I think that's where the culture war is coming from. So I'm helpful, because I think more and more people like you and me and all the other wonderful people out there, because of podcasting and because of YouTube and because of social media to a degree, we're able to cut through that noise and say, hey, guys, delete your Facebook app, turn off the news, tune in, and explore the inner self, and That's explore right. who you are, and don't judge others, because you're never mm-hmm. going to be happy if you do that. I think that message is getting through more and more, because more people are vegan, more people are vegetarian, more people are spiritual but non-religious. More people are accepting of other people's faith, backgrounds, culture, ethnicities, and religious doctrines without judging. And more people are able to live next door to people that don't think, don't look, and don't behave like them, and are good neighbors. So I'm hopeful.
Yes, I am too. I'm really hopeful. And I also think what's happened is, with all of the kind of craziness happening, I mean, it's almost like it's given permission for all of that darkness to come out and to reveal itself. But as you know, as darkness is revealed in light, it disappears. So so the more darkness that's showing up, it just means that there's more light being poured on it. And ultimately, like you said, it's going to start transitioning, and people hopefully will wake up and see that there's a much happier, healthier lifestyle to be lived rather than the materialism, consumerism one.
Yeah. Wow. I love that end. I really appreciate that, Lisa. what final wisdom do you have for our audience that you can share, that you can tell them so they can live a more intentional life and understand that they're not the body and they're not the mind, that there's something divine, something greater than themselves?
I would highly recommend meditation is the way to go. And even if you can just find 5 or 10 minutes a day, I always like to call it defragging. I don't know if you're young enough to remember, but back in the early days of the computers, you used to have to defrag them where you would run this little program and it would line up everything and kind of clean out the computer of anything that it wasn't needing. And I feel like that's what each one of us needs to do. And ideally in the morning, when you first wake up, just take 5 to 10 minutes and sit in silence and just go within and really tap into who you are and just allow yourself to be more fully expressive of your desires and why you feel you're here and how you can help more people. And I think that'll really help you lead, you know, be on the path of more fulfillment and appreciation for your life.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. I really do appreciate it. And thank you for being on the show. And I wish I lived in Maui right now because it's...
Yeah. Well, come visit us. We'd love to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Living Life on Purpose podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes and write us a review. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Links to our sponsors and other tools can be found in our show notes along with other useful information. For more information on our yoga and coaching classes, please visit our website at yourwellnessyogi.com and please sign up for our newsletter. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose.